Why don't you stand for the reading of the word? We're going to go right into it. 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Shoach, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoach and Azekah in Ephishadim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So they're each on a mountainside. There's a valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff and the spear was like a weaver's beam. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words from the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And I'm going to go to Psalms 121 and verse 1. "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help." Hallelujah. Lord, we come to you today. Bless us, keep us, open every mind, every heart. Let your word penetrate and do a work. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. So they're each on a mountainside. They're looking down in the valley. You're not looking high enough when you're looking down in a valley. I want to talk just for a little while. I know I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch in the back. If you got a whiff of it, it smells really good. So I will be as quick as possible. One of the problems that we have as humans is that we usually operate within the five realms or the five senses that we all have senses and taste, touch, smell, sight, hearing. If we can taste it, if we can touch it, if we can smell it, if we can hear it, or if we can see it, then it's really not there. You know, if you can't have these senses working, then it's hard to believe sometimes. "Well, I don't see that. I don't hear that. I haven't tasted that. I haven't heard that." So it's hard for you to really believe it's there in most cases. And it is for this reason that we have so much trouble trusting God sometimes, simply because we cannot perceive him with our five senses. John 1 and 18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." The first problem that you and I have is that we can't see God. He is not a physical being standing in front of us on a daily basis that we can say, "Oh, that's what God did. Oh, I believe in that." If we could see God, we would have no trouble in trusting him. If we could hear him speaking with an audible voice, we'd be much more inclined to put our faith in him. Many times we feel like Job. Look at Job 9, 32 and 33. "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any dismay, daysman betwixt us that might lay hand upon us both." Because I can't see God, because you can't see God or hear him or touch him, it's easy for me to forget that he is near. It's easy for me to forget that he has he desires to work on my behalf. He desires to work on your behalf. The second problem that you and I face is that we can see our problems. We can't see God in a physical being, but we can see our problems. They're very real. They're touchable. They're tangible. The bill is in the mail. The car is not working. The brakes went out. The gas went up 40 cents. You can see problems. You can see the issues that are happening. They assault your five senses on a regular basis. I can see them. I can hear them. I can touch them. They're so very real to me. They occupy my horizon. They invade my serenity. They dominate my thoughts. They overwhelm my mental capacity. They plunder the peace of my mind at times. They are ever before us, mocking us, showing themselves to us. They greet us in the morning. Oh, you might go to sleep happy, but the problem's still there in the morning. Their bellowing challenges echo across the valley of our despair. And day after day, they begin to belittle us and making us shake in our boots and reminding us our problems, reminding us that we're not in control of our destiny. And we have to do this in order to do that. And the mercy of their whims, we're at that mercy. And we have to go where they pull us. And when most of us look out into a valley, in the valley, we see our giants standing there. We see our problems. We see our issues. We see our circumstances facing us. And that's where our gaze stops because we're looking down into the valley. I remember that problem. I got to take care of that. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I don't know if I can even get over it. We stop with our focus on the problem. We stop and we focus on the problem so much and we get tunnel vision. And it's all we see is the problem, 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 problem. Because we're looking down at it all the time. It's always in our face. The problem. We forget that standing behind the problem is a God who is greater than any problem that we face. We forget that there's a God who is bigger than any mountain that you and I have to climb. We forget that there's a God who is stronger than any enemy that comes against us. I say today in your hearing, stop looking at the problem and start looking at the problem solver. Look higher, look higher. Look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Look higher this morning. Raise your eyes just a little bit higher. Get your eyes out of the valley. Get your eyes out of the valley and look to the hills. In our text today, a very familiar story and familiar text, we find David coming to the battlegrounds to bring food to his brothers. And now by the time David arrives on the scene, Goliath had already been stepping out on that battlefield and breathing threats against the people of God for around 40 days or so. And for 40 days, Saul and his mighty warriors would focus on this big gargantuan giant of a man, and that's where their gaze would rest. That is a big man. We're scared. What are we going to do? What if we send a man out and he loses? What if he defeats us? Then we'll have to be their servants. What are we going to do? 40 days. They could never get around his threats. They could never get around his size. They could never get around the booming of his voice as it echoed across the valley of thunderclaps and thunderstorm coming in. They could never bring themselves to believe the promise of God that he would deliver them from this uncircumcised Philistine. They could never get their gaze above the valley, above the problem. It filled their horizon, and that's where their focus, their hope, their faith, and their courage stopped. Because they were looking down in the valley at a giant of a problem, at a giant of a man, at a giant of a circumstance that stood before them, looking down, down, down. But along comes a little boy who is too naive and too full of the Spirit of God to bow to this problem, no matter how big he might be. David never called Goliath a giant. Now here's the kicker. Saul and his army and David were both looking at the same problem. They were both looking at the same mountain. They were both looking at the same situation. They were both looking at the same issue that stood before them. Yet Saul decided that the giant was too large to eliminate, and David never even called him a giant. Saul's gaze stopped on Goliath, but David said, I'm going to look just a little bit higher. Oh, who are you? You can't stop with the problem, but I'm going to proceed to the problem solver. You might get tripped up or confused or stop and look at the problem and focus so much, but I'm here to tell somebody today, look at the problem solver. Look higher this morning. Look higher this morning. You can make it. You can live for God. You can be a Christian. You can walk in truth. Look higher. Your problem, Saul, your problem, brothers, is you're not looking high enough. Our problem lies in the fact that we can't see what God is doing through carnal eyes. Did you hear that? You got to get out of the carnal. You got to get out of the flesh. When we look through the eyes of flesh, the problems dominate us. But it's only when we look through the eyes of the Spirit that we can see what God is doing. In 2 Kings, Elisha is in Dothan and the king of Syria was hunting him down. And someone told the king that Elisha was in Dothan, and he snuck in the middle of the night and he surrounded Elisha's abode. And when Elisha's servant rose the next morning, this is what he found in 2 Kings 6 and 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? That's where his gaze stopped. He saw an army around him. He saw death and defeat and capture around him. He saw despair around him. What are we going to do, Master? His servant was looking down on the problem. He couldn't see a way out. He couldn't see how God possibly could ever be able to deliver them from this. But Elisha stepped out on the porch. He looks at the enemy. He raises his eyes a little bit higher, and he simply said this to his servant, son, you're not looking high enough. You got to look a little bit higher. And he answered in verse 16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And this is what he prayed in verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Can I tell somebody this morning, I'm praying that God opens your eyes. There is victory. Oh, defeat might be surrounding you, but victory is surrounding that. You can make it through. You can keep on keeping on. You can keep the faith. You can keep the hold of truth. You can look to the one who will never fail you. You got to look a little higher. If you stop looking when your eyes rest on the enemy, you'll miss the chariots of fire that are protecting you. You're not looking high enough. If you'll raise your gaze, you'll see that God is still in control. He's still working in the realm of faith beyond human view. It was while walking on the water towards Jesus that Peter looked down, and the Bible says he saw the wind boisterous. If that's where his gaze would have stopped and he would have just stayed focused on that, he would have drowned. But when he looked up again and he began to focus on Jesus again, he was saved. If Abraham would have considered his own body now worn out and dead, he wouldn't have had faith to believe for God for a son. But he looked beyond the circumstance and he got a hold of the promises of God Almighty. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If I walk by sight, I'll be discouraged all times. Lying in fear, my problems dominating my life. But somewhere along the line, I have to start looking through the eyes of faith. Faith believing, trusting in God. I need to get my gaze out of the valley and into the hills. Stop looking down and start looking up. Stop looking down and start looking up. Stop looking at the problem and start looking at the problem solver. He is the problem solver. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what you're facing as they come this morning. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you're going through. If you'll turn your eyes to the hills, He's coming. He's coming. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ is coming. You better get ready. You better get ready. I know many of us are facing very real problems today. Financial problems, health problems, spiritual problems, family problems. And to us, these problems are giants in our lives that have us sitting in our tents, afraid to come out, afraid to move, afraid to make a decision. I'm not minimizing your problem this morning. I know they're real. I have problems. They're very real. I know you're not making them up. They do exist. They're intimidating. They're scary. But I'm just telling somebody here today, you're not looking high enough. Look up. Look up. Put your trust, put your faith, put your peace, put your life in the hand of the King. Look up. He is the problem solver. You've rested your gaze on the problem. But I'm telling somebody to look higher. There's help from above. Look higher to the problem solver. Look higher to the miracle worker. Look higher to the God of glory. I'm here to tell somebody there's healing in the house. There's victory in the house. There's deliverance in the house. There's revival in the house. But it takes a response. It takes somebody of faith to step out and say, I want my healing, God. I'm looking to you. I'm not focusing on the despair anymore. I'm not doubting anymore. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out with faith, believing you're going to see my family through. I'm looking to the problem solver. Bump your neighbor and say, look higher. Look higher. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Hallelujah. Folks, we serve a prayer answering God. You know there's miracles in this house right now. There's deliverance in this house right now. You've just got to reach out and grab a hold of it. Right where you are, just lift your hands to heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, you are more than enough. God, you know the problems we're facing. You know the situations we're going through. You do a work right now, God. Jehovah Jireh.
He is my God.
He is my God. Oh, I trust in you, Lord. I know you're going to make a way where there seemeth no way.
And the fullness thereof.
Oh, look higher this morning.
Everything that I need.